content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hi, this is Larry Wilson for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Investopedia, Kiplinger Personal Finance, AARP Bulletin, and also continuing our readings from the book Money Hacks. Our first article from Investopedia, Saving for a Rainy Day. Learn how to build an emergency fund to prepare you for the ups and downs of life. People who've had large and unforeseen expenses arise can probably tell you one of two things: how happy they were that they had an emergency fund, or how difficult it was to find the money they suddenly needed. As with most finance-related issues, planning is a key factor in successfully weathering the storms we are all sure to face. According to the 2021 21st Annual Trans-American Retirement Survey, the median emergency fund balance among workers is only $5,000, which is unlikely to cover their needs if and when disaster hits. An emergency fund is essentially just money that's been set aside to cover life's unexpected events. The money will cover your expenses for a few months should you happen to lose your job, face a certain type of illness, need major car or home repairs, or need to pay for something else quickly and unexpectedly. Think of it as an insurance policy. Rather than paying premiums to a company, you're paying yourself money that you can use later. The cash or other highly liquid assets can be assessed quickly and easily when you need it. This reduces the need to draw from high-interest debt options such as credit cards or unsecured loans, or undermine your future security by tapping into retirement funds. Set a goal. The best size for an emergency fund depends on a number of factors, including your financial situation, expenses, and debts. Many financial advisors recommend saving enough to cover anywhere from 3 to 6 months worth of expenses, which can help you weather a modest medical bill or a short bout of unemployment. However, some experts argue for an even heftier cushion. Celebrity finance guru Susie Orman, for example, suggests an emergency fund that can handle up to 8 months' worth of outlays. And she made that recommendation well before the 2020 crisis, which was a stark reminder of how sudden and deep an economic slump can be. Individual circumstances may dictate the specific savings level with which you're comfortable. For example, a single adult without children may be content covering 3 months of expenses, while the sole breadwinner for an entire family may want to save enough to cover half a year or even more. Research shows that many Americans are well short of the recommended range. A 2020 survey by the Federal Reserve found that when faced with a hypothetical expense of $400, only 64% of all adults said they would cover it exclusively using cash savings or a credit card paid off at the next statement. If you're living paycheck to paycheck, you may want to start with a modest goal, such as putting 2% of your net income into a rainy day fund and slowly increasing your contributions every month. Even a modest safety net can help buy you a little time should you face an unforeseen financial crisis. Start today, not tomorrow. Starting early is the key to setting up an emergency fund because it helps you build up a comfortable cushion against unexpected situations later in life. Getting a start on an emergency fund is relatively easy. There are two simple ways to begin creating one. Set aside a comfortable amount from your salary each month. Calculate your living expenses for the desired period and make that your target for an emergency fund. You can then divert a portion of your paycheck, perhaps by setting up an automatic transfer to that account every month. Once the fund is built up, invest extra savings for the long term or other goals, such as the down payment on a mortgage. Once you've maxed out of your retirement savings, that money could go into an investment account with higher risk and rewards. Save your tax refund. You may be tempted to think of a tax refund or stimulus check as extra money for discretionary spending. Instead, consider diverting it towards your emergency fund to give you an additional financial cushion. If you get a bonus, tax refund, or even an extra monthly paycheck, which happens 2 months out of the year if you're paid biweekly, save that money as soon as it comes into your checking account, said Lauren Haynes, a fiduciary and fee-only financial planner with Spark Financial Advisors in Virginia. If you wait until the end of the month to transfer that money, the odds are high that it will get spent instead of saved. You probably want to park your emergency fund in a vehicle that can be easily liquidated should a financial need suddenly arise. While storing cash in a savings account may be the safest approach, there are other relatively secure ways to store a part of your emergency fund that offer greater interest earning potential. These include high interest savings accounts, money market accounts, and no penalty certificate of deposits, which don't charge savers a fee if they need to pull their money out before the maturity date. With one of these accounts, you'll have the necessary access in an emergency, but won't incur fees and time delays associated with other vehicles like brokerage accounts. You may want to build an emergency fund into venturing into investment vehicles such as stocks, which are volatile. They offer greater long-term growth potential than cash and cash equivalents, but their value can suddenly decrease in the event of an economic downturn, as the 2020 economic crisis made clear. Should that be the moment you need to tap them, you could lose more value. An emergency fund protects your portfolio against that risk. Your employer might also help. Because of the effects of financial instability on productivity and retirement security, a number of major employers, such as Starbucks and ADP, have introduced programs encouraging emergency savings. For example, through its Truist Momentum program, Truist Financial, the parent of SunTrust and BB&T Banks, offers $750 to employees who complete an 8-part financial education program and then open and fund an emergency savings account. More than 48,000 employees had graduated as of August the 6th of 2021, according to the company. Levi Strauss & Company gives hourly employees up to $240 each in matching funds when they make qualifying contributions to their savings accounts over 6 months. Workers also receive a $20 bonus when they link their bank account to the company's online platform. And Prudential Financial Incorporated employees with a retirement plan administered by Prudential can divert part of their paycheck towards a savings account, helping them to create a financial safety net. This feature serves as after-tax emergency savings and allows employees to withdraw the funds if an emergency arises while preserving their before-tax contributions. The bottom line, having a plan and sticking to it is the surest way to achieve most goals. Even a small amount of money set aside can be helpful when facing a disaster of any type. Challenge yourself to start today by putting away a little bit of money and adding more every month. Use your tax refund and other windfalls to build up your fund. Your goal should be at least 3 to 6 months worth of funds, but be sure to reevaluate that amount every year. Inflation and changing life events, such as having a baby or buying a home, may certainly change your needs. Our next article from Kiplinger Personal Finance, and this is an interview conducted with Ted Rossman, who is a senior industry analyst for CreditCards.com and Bankrate. It is titled, Credit Card Rewards Are Safe for Now. Legislation that could curb rewards has stalled, but it's always a good time to maximize cash back and points. Merchants pay swipe fees to transaction networks such as MasterCard and Visa each time a customer pays with a credit card. The Credit Card Competition Act, which is designed to lower swipe fees by giving merchants more choices among networks, was sidelined over the summer, but supporters say they'll continue to push for passage. How would this legislation affect consumers? If the bill becomes law, the largest source of credit card rewards funding could dry up, diminishing consumers' rewards. There's also the possibility that customers' data will be at risk because we don't really know whether the nascent card processing networks competing for merchants' transaction business would be as secure as more established networks. Access to credit cards, credit could be curtailed as well because if banks aren't making as much money from credit cards, they may not be as willing to lend, especially to borrowers with lower incomes or lower credit scores. Banks may also raise fees in other areas. Maybe the current system isn't perfect, but I think it's the best for consumers, especially those who are able to avoid interest by paying off their balance every month and take advantage of credit card rewards. In our research, a little more than half of credit card users fit that description. And the question, with so many rewards cards available, how can consumers choose the best one for them? Answer, I think it's really important to evaluate your individual spending and usage habits because there's no one-size-fits-all answer to this. Different cards give different rewards. Travel is often the most lucrative reward, but it's also the most complicated. And not everybody has the flexibility to travel on the optimal dates, which typically fall outside of peak travel times, or wants to travel at all. Cash back is America's favorite type of credit card reward, according to our research. It's very straightforward and transparent. Most people don't want to juggle a whole bunch of cards. They'd rather use the same one or two cards as widely as possible. I think the best credit card is very simple, no annual fee, 2% cashback card, such as the Citi Double Cash or the Wells Fargo Active Cash. Question, as the holidays approach, how can credit card users maximize the rewards they earn for shopping and travel? Answer, you can stack discounts by using a rewards credit card on an airline shopping portal offered by credit card brands. For instance, I use the Shop Through Chase portal a lot. Many airlines and some third-party brands, such as Rakuten, have them too. Just log into the portal and click the link to wherever you're going to shop, and you may receive bonus rewards on your credit card. Combine that with a couple of coupons for additional savings on the same purchase. Question, when is the best time to cash in on travel rewards? Answer, oftentimes airlines will release award tickets 11 or 12 months ahead of time. So in that case, the early bird gets the worm. Other deals come on and off the market periodically, and you may get a deal on short notice as well. The biggest takeaway is to just use your rewards. A CreditCards.com study found that one quarter of rewards cardholders didn't use any rewards over the past year. Airline miles tend to lose value over time because of program changes. It may cost 50,000 miles for a free flight today, But in a year, the airline could change the rules and require 60,000 miles for a free trip. You don't want to hoard rewards and become a points millionaire. It makes sense to earn and burn strategically. Our next article is from the AARP Bulletin publication. It's titled, What Store Am I Really Shopping In? Many vendors operate within the biggest retail websites. How to know which ones are safe? You searched Amazon, you found what you were looking for on Amazon, and you clicked buy on Amazon. Odds are, however, that you didn't actually buy from Amazon. More than 60% of the site's sales are made by other vendors, the company says. Amazon isn't the only major retailer that is expanding its business as a middleman. Walmart, Target, Macy's, Chewy, Best Buy, and J. Crew, among others, also run what are known as third-party marketplaces. In other words, these retailers are operating less like a store and more like a mall or flea market. But these marketplaces can be a crazy mix of sellers, ranging from large corporations to people working out of their garage. Product quality and customer service can vary dramatically. Items sold by third-party sellers may not be properly manufactured, stored, handled, or ethically sourced because they operate outside major retailers' supply chains, explains Kara Kamel, director of the Center for Anti-Counterfeiting and Product Protection at Michigan State University. You could be buying stolen or expired or recalled or counterfeit products. The new Inform Consumers Act, which requires retailers to protect buyers from shady third-party sellers, should help, but the law won't eliminate bad actors, Kamel says. Here's how to shop more safely. Check out the seller. One easy way to protect yourself is to buy directly from the retailer that runs the website. You can usually find the seller's name on the product page near the button for buying the item. Otherwise, click the seller's name for more information, including its product selection. A random mismatch could be a red flag. Also read user reviews, not just ratings. One way to filter out potentially fake reviews and unreliable sellers is to use FakeSpot software, which can be located at fakespot.com. Locate the shipper by the seller's name on Amazon. Look for the ships from information. It's important. This summer, when my dad was shopping for an outdoor lounge cushion, he saw something odd. Both the shipper and the shipping time changed depending on the cushion's color. The red version, shipped by Amazon, would arrive in 2 days. Other colors, sold and shipped by a Chinese seller, would take weeks. If you need to return an item to anywhere overseas, you may have to pay a fortune. Spot return gotchas. When buying from third parties, pay special attention to each product's return policies, including cost. You may have some protections. Walmart, for example, lets you return third-party items to its stores. But Amazon's A to Z guarantee has a lot of fine print. We get many emails from customers confused about whom to contact when something goes wrong, says Rob Gross, co-founder of FakeSpot, and that's usually because they bought from a third-party seller who all of a sudden disappeared. And we will continue our readings from the book Money Hacks by Lisa Rowan. And we will start reading from Money Hack number 44. Pay yourself to splurge. What if you could save and splurge at the same time? It might sound counterintuitive, but with a little bit of planning, you might be able to do so. An unconventional strategy. Once you've thoroughly considered an impulse or unexpected purchase and decided you really, truly want that item, dig a little deeper into your bank account. Do you have enough cash available to both buy the item and put the same amount into your savings account? If you're considering something small like a donut to go with your morning coffee, you might say, sure, I've got $3 to put into my savings right now. I'm getting that donut. But consider bigger temptations. As the impulse buys get more expensive, the math becomes a bit more challenging. If you've been eyeing a pair of boots that cost $100, you may not have enough money to be able to move another $100 into savings and still be able to buy groceries to last until your next paycheck. If that's the case, it's a sign that you probably shouldn't make this purchase right now. On the plus side, if you transfer money to savings every time you make a purchase that's outside of your ordinary spending, you may find your savings balance adds up quicker than you could ever imagine. Money hack number 45. Don't shop when you're tired. Whether you're heading to a job interview or competing in a sporting event, you want your performance to be its very best. Why not take the same thinking to your shopping? Retail expert Paco Underhill says that you should never shop tired and never shop hungry. That's because we suffer from decision fatigue. When we're tired, probably at the end of the day, we've already made thousands of decisions of every size, from deciding what to eat for lunch to where to stand on the subway platform to even which pair of socks to put on. That's why you see some tech leaders wearing the same style of clothing every day. It's one less decision they have to think about, and they can focus their energy on more important tasks. You may not be willing to adopt a uniform or eat the same sandwich every single day, but you can recognize when you are vulnerable to decision fatigue. Is it when you head to the grocery store on your way home right before dinner time? Is it while scrolling through Instagram when you're lounging on the couch at night? If you shop when you're tired or hungry, either out at a store or online, you're more likely to make impulsive decisions that could lead to buyer's remorse. If you notice you're exhausted or peakish, hold off on your purchasing decisions until you feel refreshed. Money hack 46. Focus on your financial goals. Have you ever gotten a new job, raise, or promotion and ended up wondering why you don't feel any richer? Lifestyle inflation is probably the culprit. You could spend the extra money on what you previously thought you couldn't afford. Take out lunches, trips to the salon, a round of drinks. Sure, you can technically afford these extra expenses, but they're not getting you any closer to your financial goals. If you find yourself earning constantly more money than you're used to, make gradual changes to your spending. Replace one aging appliance before renovating your entire kitchen. Remember that just because there's more money in your budget doesn't mean you need to spend it. Focus on your financial goals and don't let the thrill of extra spending money throw you off course. You deserve to treat yourself for your accomplishments, but don't neglect the guidelines you've set for yourself so that you can achieve even more down the road. Money hack number 47. Pay now or not at all. The last time you purchased clothing online, you may have seen next to your payment choices a fancy new option to pay for your cart in installments. That means you can apply for a loan right there on the retailer's website with the option to pay for your purchase over 3 months, 4 months, or even longer. These services make it easy to apply in just a few months, apply in just a few moments, and show you what your monthly payment could be before you even start the application process. But that convenience could get you in trouble. Some installment plan service charge interest rates as high as 30%, but distract you from the fact that by pointing out that there are no late fees or other surprises. Some services offer interest-free installments, but drop a hefty interest rate on you if you don't pay on time. All this just to buy cosmetics, clothing, and shoes. Are these essential items in your budget or discretionary categories? The next time you're confronted with the option to pay now or pay later via an installment plan, think long and hard about how long you want to be paying for those sneakers that could get probably scuffed up on the very first day. Money Hack 48, choose two savings goals. Consider your goals in order of priority, then choose just two to work on at a time. While it's great to have several goals, working towards all of them at once will slow down your progress for each one. Imagine thinking about your next vacation when your vacation fund only has $20, then $25, then $30 in it over several months because you have so many other goals parceled out. Scale back and focus with intent on your two most important savings goals. Once you achieve your goal amount for one, switch it out with a new goal. Continue to rotate through as goals as they're needed. If you don't have an emergency fund, start there and work up to a financial cushion of 3 to 6 months of your typical expenses. From there, it's all up to you. Money Hack 49. Get free movies at the library. There's a lot to love about streaming TV and movies, but the downside is that none of those services are free. Why not cancel Netflix and Hulu and head to your local library? Even in this age of streaming, libraries carry plenty of movies and TV shows on DVD, including new releases that sometimes charge extra to access on streaming services. You may have to wait a few weeks for the series or film you want to be available for checkout, and you typically only have about a week to complete your viewing. But the anticipation is worth it if you want to keep up with your favorite on-screen characters without a monthly fee. Just make sure to return the titles you borrow on time. Well, we're out of time for today's episode of Money Matters. Thank you for joining us, and please be sure to join us again next time. On behalf of the North Carolina Reading Service, this is Larry Wilson. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.